My name's Mel Herbert, and he's Tom Wolfson. We're going to be talking about the cars, the batteries, the solar panel, the stock price, the man, the myth. We're going to be talking about everything Tesla. Why? Because we're
talking
Tesla. Welcome to Talking Tesla. Oh my God, you guys have got to be excited like us. The X.
It's ready to drop. Boom!
It's imminent.
It is so pregnant. Oh, so I went onto the Teslarati website, I gotta say.
Teslarati.
I love that site. Love those guys.
Great guys.
Doing good work.
Great site. We should have them over for beers.
Doing the Tesla work. So they noted that the Tesla Model X is officially springing on September 29th, which is probably the day this thing comes out.
They're going to be delivering, I believe, some Founders Editions.
So you explain this to me. There's Founders, there's Signature, and then there's Everybody Else Editions.
So Founders Editions for the S, there's differing reports. It appeared to have been about a dozen.
That's it.
They're
Founders.
You know, Founders. There's not a lot of Founders. Probably the two guys that invented the Roadster before Elon came in and said, I'll help you save your Roadster.
Okay.
Oopsie. I didn't mean that. Sorry, yeah, guys.
That's upsetting.
So there's those Founders. There's probably some early investors in the program. Just the inside circle. Like, we're on the outside of the outer circle.
Like, yeah, we're like in the Pluto part of the Tesla universe.
We're not even actually a planet anymore.
We've been devalued even at that level. Okay. So that's Founders. Uh-huh. So you get a couple of those.
Yeah,
you
know, and those are probably just jacked full of everything.
Gosh. Like, it comes with ice cream and stuff as well.
There's like a soft serve machine, I think, behind the third row, which is pretty sweet, and like a waffle cone maker.
Yes.
Like, probably up so front good. In the front is sort of how the Founders. So wherever the Founders go, they can just waffle cone and get some sprinkles going. Like, it's pretty sweet. And then the Signature. And again, differing reports. It appears there's about 1,500 Signature editions.
Uh-huh.
They did a Signature in the Model S. I think all the Roadsters, for the most part, were Signatures because they were kind of handmade. But some of the Signatures will come autographed by Elon. It's a random kind of thing from what I understand.
It's a
from
Signature.
It's like his.
It's a Signature edition, right? So it comes with a Signature.
But they don't all have Signatures, so it's weird. They're called the Signature. There's a Signature edition red.
Yes.
Very exciting. The most exciting part about it for the Signature people is there's almost no configuring you can do. You can pick a color. You can pick the interior. Uh-huh. And as far as options go, you're basically on the hook for $132,000. Now, there are reports of Signature people getting into the design studio, which is not public yet. I want in, people. Let me in. Mm-hmm. But it's only been invited, only about probably 400 to 500 people. Even Signature people have been invited. I don't believe anybody with a production model has gotten invited into the design studio. So you go into the design studio, and basically everything's there. Things $132,000. Hello, $132,000. I mean, do the math, bro. That's a pricey little bad boy.
That is a lot. And actually, the Twitter universe freaked out because they're like, my gosh, this new X is $130,000. And then Elon tweeted out and was like, everybody settle down.
Settle.
This is the Signature Edition. These are fully loaded. They come with waffle makers and ice cream. And
those are the Founders.
Oh, sorry.
Come on.
And you'll be able to configure an X for about $5,000 more than an S of about the same size and shape.
But I don't believe that's 100% accurate because there's a couple of different battery options on the S. And I think the only battery option, at least that I've seen so far on the X, is the 90. So you're at the top end of the bad boy. Party foul. It's over on... Hey, I think Mel's getting a call from Elon. Is that a cease and desist letter?
Is that you, Elon? Hang on. I better take this.
Okay. Pausing.
Hello.
Sorry about that. Oh, that is a basic podcasting fail, but it actually was Elon. Turns out that I am getting a Founders Edition and to come up to Fremont on the 29th and pick it up.
Sweet. I have a really nice recipe for waffle cones. So we'll share that with you guys in the show notes.
It's going to be great. All right, okay. Tom, I want to hear a rant from you because on the Teslarati website, they say, here are the things that you need to look for. And I'll just list them, and then there's one of them that I know you want to say a few things about. The second row seats, how they operate. The photochromatic continuous windshield. The autopilot update software. the much anticipated Falcon Wings, all things that the guys at the Teslarati website are very excited to see how it all pans out. One of these in particular made you have a small stroke, we'll call it, a hemorrhagic, hypertensive, hydrogen-esque stroke.
I had a cranial event.
Go, why? Which one, why?
When they announced the Model X originally and showed off the first prototype in 2012, it's been that long.
Yeah, no, back
a
in
very,
the day.
Very long time.
It's like a presidential
they
election.
They showed pictures of it with the seats all folded flat in the back, and surfboards and skis and snowboards and all manner of
small
long,
people.
Thin items in
yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
And then, as you guys know, one of the delays in the Model X were these sculptural back second row seats that Elon likes. And in the photos that they've got in the design studios that have been posted on TMZ Connect by some lovely gentleman who got him into the design studio, the second row of seats, unlike the second row of seats in, I don't know, every other car with a third row of seats, don't fold. They don't fold. They appear to push all the way forward into the back seats, in the back of the front seats, and they're lovely, and they look like very executive-y looking seats, but they don't fold. So the option for laying them flat and putting some big boxes, you can put some big boxes. They have a photo on their design studio trying to sort of eliminate everybody's anger about it. But I will tell you this. People have canceled their reservations after seeing that the second row of seats do not fold. Now, there's another group of people who are like, I don't know, they probably fold. Let's wait till the 29th give Elon the benefit of the doubt. The hell with that. I've seen the pictures. There's no hinge there. I know what folding looks like. These things aren't folding.
I'm really uncomfortable right now. Tom, we don't
it's
know.
It's because you're in the back seat of a freaking eggs and the seats won't fold.
Yeah, but there's a lovely waffle maker. No, yeah. Tom, I don't think we can say yet if they fold or not. This is a...
I just said it. Did you not hear me?
We don't know.
No, we know.
No,
you want to see the
picture?
You
know.
Do you want to see the picture?
You have a picture on the internet.
I mean,
and you're making these wild accusations based on a picture on the internet.
How often
there's a
have
picture...
I been wrong on this show?
Oh,
all
it's been
the time.
Since last episode. So just calm down. I'm sure Tesla design geniuses are not going to upset little Thomas and his folding things.
Design genius. Oh, okay. So here's an excellent point. What if they don't fold?
I don't care. I want to look at it first. I don't care if it folds. I just want to know that there's room in there.
Yeah.
Maybe they've done something like the TARDIS. Maybe it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside due to a spatial thing with Doctor Who. They could probably do that. Just settle down.
Which Doctor Who?
All of them. All of them, the TARDIS. One thing that we do know, enough speculating, Tom, is that the range currently is 250 miles with the 90 kilowatt battery, which is about, I think, where people expect it to be, about 10, 20% less than the S because it's bigger and it's less aerodynamic. If you put a 90 kilowatt battery in there, you get about 250 miles. And that's okay. I was hoping that it would still be, 280, 300-ish, but I'll have to accept 250. Even though I never run to the end of the range anyway, I still want a car with 500 miles.
Right. It's pretty badass. It's got apparently 259 horsepower to the front axle, 500 to the rear axle. So 0 to 60, 3.8 seconds. Top speed, 155 miles an hour. Stick that in your SUV and smoke it. You know what I'm saying? Ludicrous mode upgrade, also only $10,000. Drops the 60 mile per hour speed to 3.2. That's pretty good.
That's fast.
I mean, so you put seven small children in that. 0 to 60, 3.2 miles per hour. You don't need to go to Fright Fest. You're done. You're good. You have your own scary roller coaster
ride. That's right.
Ride.
If you kids do not be quiet. Oh, Daddy's trying to kill us.
Make him stop. Another cool feature that I noticed in this photo is there's a very unusual little hinge on the sun visor.
Uh-huh.
That's attached to the A pillar.
Yes.
Because I think that it looks like it has a much taller windshield. Like the windshield goes higher than in most cars, so you won't see that headliner in front of you while
yes,
you're driving
go
it.
Go on.
And so the sun visor isn't attached to that headliner. It's attached to the A pillar.
Yes.
Now, the A pillar, that's the first pillar in a car, Mel.
Well, you know why? Because it's A.
It's A. It's the one closest to the front of the car by the driver or the passenger.
Yes.
And so it's a cool little hinge. It comes out. But that visor, instead of like hanging over the top of you into the headliner, and you know how like over years the hinge sags and it's always in your way, it's on the side. So like on the side panel where you get into the car, that's where
this is part of that.
Also, you believe me when I say that.
Well, I think this is part of that continuous glass thing where there's actually some pictures on the internet.
Yeah.
Unlike your pictures,
I have
on
a
the
picture
internet.
From the Tesla design studio. How dare you?
And of continuous glass. So the glass, mm-hmm. as I understand it, comes up for the windscreen and then extends up over the A pillar all the way back. So if you get that version, I guess you can see all the stars in the universe because you're going to be able to see everything, that whole sunroof thing. Because
it's a version? Like you think the glass goes all the way through the top?
It seems like it. There's, again, on Teslarati, they're trying to scrub it. I find it a bit hard, but there's this continuous glass that goes up because you can't have a, what's it called, sunroof the way you have the gullwing doors. So this glass comes all the way up and it's some funky thing. I'll have to get another picture of it because I don't really understand what it is, but they're all excited.
They're not gullwing doors, by the way.
They're falcon
doors.
Falk that.
nice one.
I got something else to talk to you about, Tom. So this is a bit of waffling. Model X is coming. Hopefully we're going to start to get some real reports about it soon for the next Talking Tesla. And we'll be talking to some of your friends that might actually have one by then. Okay. Can you call them?
You mean you?
No, the other people.
Oh, the other. Oh, my scavenger buddies.
Your scavenger buddies. But a big thing that dropped this week is the Apple iCar being reported by a whole bunch of people at the same time. I read it on NBC.com, and they said Apple has been working on this thing called the Titan Project. And they say they've tripled the number of engineers on this Titan Project, and this Titan Project is a car with a ship date, according to the Wall Street Journal, of 2019.
I've already made a deposit.
Have you?
Yeah, $25,000.
Apple has declined. You're a liar. Apple has declined to comment. So here are the questions. Is this a Tesla rival? Is this self-driving? There is this conspiracy theory on the internet that says that actually Tesla is already working with Apple on this car. So what do you think? Because Apple actually did meet with the California Department of Motor Vehicles and asked them about their autonomous vehicle regulations. So what do you think, Tom? What's going on?
Well, if by working with Tesla you mean Apple poaching some of their best engineers to work for them, then yes, they're working with Tesla. Tesla is basically becoming the HR department for the Apple iCar.
That's upsetting.
They appear to be
smoke and mirrors. They're actually working to get a smoke and mirrors.
Maybe. They appear to be taking a lot of their top talent. It feels like this is happening. They got more stores than Tesla to sell their car in. I'll tell you that now. Their distribution network is a little more widespread. It's kind of fascinating. They have enough cash. That's for damn sure.
They could buy it, everything, all of the things.
The other interesting thing is they have a huge amount of manufacturing capability in China. Right? Tesla's making cars here.
Yes. Where would they manufacture them?
Where would the Titan be made? Would the Titan be made traditionally and shipped over here? I don't know. That's pretty cool. Is it going to have a big glowing Apple on it? Because I want to drive one of those.
It's actually a friend of mine called me yesterday and goes, dude, you must be so torn. What are you going to buy? The Apple car or the Tesla car? You love both of these companies.
I have an answer for that.
What?
Your friend, he's going to buy both, sir.
Actually, I said to him, I probably will buy neither because if this is a self-driving car, Uber's going to buy them all and I won't need a car. Refer back to our prior session where it's going to be a self-driving Uber. They're going to sell them all. Piper Jaffray, analyst Gene Munster, says he gives us about a 50 to 60% probability that actually Apple is making a car. That's exciting. 2019. Do you think Talking Tesla will still be going by then?
Oh, it's going to be going strong if news reports like this keep coming out. Now, it's interesting because in the past, people have spoken about Apple basically producing the autonomous car and the human interface and working with other car companies to do that. And I don't think that's true because one thing that we know about Apple, they don't really work well with others.
They don't play well.
They don't make little things to put in other people's little things. They make all the things inside all of the things. Not the little mini parts, but they make the software and the hardware. They're the only computer company that does that. Microsoft's not really doing it. Let's be honest. They're not producing the Surface themselves. They're a bunch of babies. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's fascinating. I think talking Tesla will still be going strong. I will be driving around a probably second generation used X by 2019, I hope. Yes. So, you know, that's cool. Hopefully that one will have folding rear seats.
Jeez, leave it alone. No, you don't know. No. You're going to be so embarrassed in front of the millions of people listening to this program when it turns out they fold and then they disappear.
That's going to be news. I'm embarrassed in front of our listeners.
I'm excited. This is what Tesla, and people forget this. Even the Tesla rabid fans forget this. Elon's stated aim in creating Tesla and pushing all this stuff forward was to get competition moving, to show people that people really want electric cars, that they want self-driving cars, that they want all this stuff, that we're going to reduce carbon emissions and the competition is good. I'm excited. Bring it on, Apple. Bring that design sense. Bring that cash. Bring me an Apple self-driving car and I will rent it.
Well, that may be Elon's stated goal, but there have been a lot of people investing a lot of money into Tesla. That's not their goal.
What's their goal, Tom?
Their goal is to make a kick-ass, really robust car company worth billions and billions of dollars, like some of the other lovely car companies that we have in the world today.
Let me jump forward then and talk about sales of electric vehicles.
Oh.
So you ready for this? This is U.S. sales for electric vehicles from January to August 2015. And this is from Inside EVs.
This made me cry.
Model S, 14,000.
Woohoo, that's a lot.
Leaf, 12,000.
It's an 8-month period.
Yep. Volt, 8,000. The i3, which I want to talk a little bit about, the BMW i3, 6,000. A couple of the Ford versions, about 4,000 to 5,000 each. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, only three of the cars on that list are actually electric. The other ones are hybrid electric.
That's true, or extended range electrics.
But the thing that's sad about that number, it's 45,000 cars, 5,600 cars a month out of the national U.S. average 16 to 18 million cars sold a month. They're not even selling the amount of cars Toyota's putting in dealerships as demos anymore.
Actually, that was a bit of a misspeak on Tom's part. The US sells about, and it's variable, about, let's say, a million cars per month. His point is obviously correct, that 50,000 cars a month is a lot less than a million cars a month. Yeah, I'm not saying, Tom.
There's 300 million of us in this country. You know that, right? Like a
there's
lot
three,
of us.
There's more than that, 350.
350 million. So, I mean, you know.
That's a lot. Actually, I have to jump in here. We're both wrong. And we split it. The actual projected number for 2015 is 325 million in the US. All right, so we split that one. Plus, so I get it. I get what you're saying. Rounding errors. And that's actually even the Tesla people said that. We're a rounding error until we get the Model 3 out and we're making 500,000 plus of these a year. But it's heading in the right direction. The trends are outstanding.
I'm sorry. I know we've talked about this before and it's sad. Up. Even 500,000. A year.
That's just from one car manufacturer. They're all going to hop on board. Come on. It's going to happen, Tom. It's all going to be beautifully.
Toyota has hopped off board. We talked about that.
Actually, Toyota's.
They're all making compliance vehicles.
Yes.
BMW.
Yes.
Nissan.
Yes.
All of them. Chevy. Ford. Compliance vehicles. The only electric vehicle besides the Fisker, which is coming back, right? Is that what it's called?
Something like that. Is it coming back?
They decided to bring it back. They're the only company not making compliance vehicles. Like Nissan's like, let's make some Leafs and we can sell 7,000 more trucks.
But that's come on, the Leaf, shut up. I love the Leaf. They're doing great. And it's the biggest selling car in the world, electric car in the world last year.
It's a great car.
Yeah, it's a great car. It's not a compliance vehicle. The Leaf is real. It's a real car.
But it's a compliance vehicle. It just happened to take off because it's priced right.
No,
has just enough range. People are having issues with the batteries. Like I told you, my friend is having problems with his range. He's getting his Leaf is like a couple of years, 3 years old at the max. He's already on the very edge. His battery hasn't deteriorated enough to warrant a warranty replacement.
Say that again.
No. But it's almost to the point where he can't get to work and back.
Well, we're going to move on.
Okay, yeah, let's move on.
We're going to talk about the Prius.
Yay, Prius.
A lot of people love the Prius.
A lot of those have been sold.
A lot of those have been sold. The 2016 Prius is now out there.
Almost 20 million.
Yeah. 60 miles to the gallon, I think the 2016 is going to get. And I say, talk about Prius for 1 second, just because that's kind of the eco car that I think for a lot of us saw as the model citizen of the internal combustion engine.
60 miles per gallon total? Is that a partial plug-in or is that all on gas?
That one is just, well, you can, it does have a partial plug-in thing, but this was
that's just
their stated when they're going on gas.
That Volvo we talked about, I read something today, 59 miles a gallon total when you talk about like using the electric range and the thing to recharge
this
it.
This is the Volvo you want to buy. It's an
the
SUV, big Volvo,
the
big
$70,000 new Volvo XC90.
Of which they have sold, I think I saw zero. That on the list, four in August.
Four in August. Yeah, that's not a lot. It's a very expensive car. I haven't seen it in person. 17-mile all-electric range, not the 25. At least, you know, there's varying reports. It's always going to depend on your terrain and blah, blah, blah.
While we're talking, Tom, about car manufacturers and how much they really care about the consumer, how they really want to sort of move us off fossil fuels because it's really the right thing to do.
Or if they're going to continue to make fossil fuel vehicles, make them clean.
Yeah. And so, you know, clean diesel has been great. Oh, and so Volkswagen clean. Has it's been the making best. These super clean diesels.
Super clean. They sell a lot of them.
They sell a lot. Yeah. Except it turns out that it's all bullshit.
What? it's a lie? Okay.
Not
yeah.
only Volkswagen, everybody's heard this story, but let's just like recount. So you're selling a lot of Volkswagens and Porsches and who else they own? Some other thing. Oh, yeah. That other little division, Audi. And
biggest car company in the world.
Sell more than Toyota last year. Unbelievable.
That's over.
So they had this software thing. And so when you go take your diesel car in and you go get it checked for emissions, the software goes, oh, they're checking me. Here's what I'm going to do. And it gives them numbers which are complete BS.
Not only that, it does it when the EPA is testing them and the California Air Regulations Board. They were screwing with the government.
In multiple countries.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Oopsie.
And then when you drive away from having your thing tested for its emissions, it goes back to normal mode, yeah. which is 40 times the emissions that it told the man who was testing you. I can't believe. I mean,
it's amazing.
Large
it's
corporations really, do stupid things, but that is unbelievably
this has got to be a big one. They think it's going to be years before they can live this down. There's going to be a huge hit. How are they going to get the trust of people back? But interestingly enough, you go on the website today for Volkswagen, and I did. You can still configure a Volkswagen clean diesel car today for $30,000. Whatever. It cost them big, though. The stock crashed.
Thank you.
Lost 33% of their valuation in 5 days.
As it should.
$20 billion U.S. dollars. Bye-bye.
Thank you. They've put aside $7 billion just to do the recalls.
I don't know how that number makes sense because what is the recall? Do you have to replace 11 million diesel engines?
I don't know. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of
money. So $7 billion in recalls to do whatever they got to do to fix this problem. 33% drop in the stock price.
Uh-huh.
And then people are talking about they could be fined as much as $20 billion additional dollars.
Just here.
This could end that company. And you know what? Right now I say
Or do this.
No, it's not right. Because there's nice people that are working there and building. Whoever did this should be taken out and spanked.
It's actually it's a big, big, big problem. Okay, Volkswagen, 20% of all exports in the German economy come from their auto industry. So I don't know if you knew this. Germany sort of seems to be propping up a good portion of the EU. I think 775,000 German citizens work in the automobile industry. That's crazy. This is a nightmare for Volkswagen. And for Germany, they will come back from it for sure. I don't know if Volkswagen will. But this is, I came up with this on my way over here. I was driving over here.
What were you driving in?
For EV, just plug it in at your house in your secondary backup charger that you have.
Thank you.
And I thought to myself, this is a perfect way for Germany, one of the most clean energy friendly countries in the world.
Yes.
To say to Volkswagen, all right, you've done this. You've caused a problem. You're going to make an electric vehicle.
That I was thinking exactly the same thing. I would say you're going to now have a zero carbon operation. Mm-hmm. You're going to put up solar panels and you're going to make not a compliance EV
not
vehicle.
Not a compliance make, vehicle.
Put all of that effort into creating a really great European-built electric car. Vehicle. Get going.
Yeah, that's make it happen. Part that's of your punishment. Fine. I want you to make 11 million of them. As many as you made those diesel cars, I want you to make electric cars. I want you to make them lovely. I want you to build a freaking charging network. I want you to do this. That is your punishment. You're welcome.
Thomas.
Thank you very much. Toyota called, by the way. Donk of shame, they said. Thank you very much.
Woo-hoo, we're
it's
number one again.
Ridiculous.
That is really unbelievable. I could rant about it forever, but I want to talk about one last thing, Tom, because we're coming to the end of this podcast. I want to talk about the Model 3 range. I don't know how I missed this. This was in seekingalpha.com, and it says that the estimates right now is that the Model 3 range is going to come in a number of different configurations, but at the high end, the Model 3 could have a range of 330 miles. That makes me
happy.
What
is this based on?
It's based on the internet.
I'm speculating about an actual photograph on the Tesla website about folding seats and ridiculed, and you're using speculation from something that Tesla is probably not even 10% down the road
designing. How could you imagine this is speculation when they haven't even created the alpha version of the car? I don't know why you would think this is speculation, but I like speculation when it says what I like, which is good range on the Model 3.
Yeah.
And that'll sell like hottie cakeys.
It will.
It's so funny because actually reading one of these.
They got to get it out though, man.
One of these reviews said, if the Model 3 gets 330-mile range and comes in at $35,000, Tesla is going to make a huge amount of money. If the Model 3 costs more than $35,000 and doesn't have good range, it's not going to sell. I'm like, yeah. I could be an analyst. I could come up with that too.
Yeah, that's genius. Yeah, good work, whoever you are, guy from Analyst City.
Hey, Tom, before we finish, we got an email from Daniel. What's his name?
It's a letter. It's from Daniel Bloomfield from Maryland.
And he says this, guys, what a great show. I got the Tesla bug earlier this year after two test drives of the 85D in Maryland Tesla store. Since then, I've tried to learn as much as possible about the company, the technology, the cars, and the fans. The Tesla Motor Club page was easy to find and a great resource, but your podcast makes the subject, you ready for this, even more personable, interesting, and fun. Thanks for sharing your passion on the interwaves.
Sir, you flatter us.
Thank you, sir. He did suggest a future topic, to lease or buy a Tesla. I'd love to hear a discussion about the pros and cons and the options of purchasing a Tesla and electric vehicles in general. In fact, I'd like to know how you finance your Tesla. I've read a number of differing opinions from it's a forever car, you should just buy it outright, to it's like a smartphone on wheels, get a lease because you're going to flip it every 3 to 4 years. We'll get a finance guy to actually talk to us about this because it depends where it's a business lease or not a business lease and this kind of stuff. But can I tell you what I think, Tom? Having bought mine.
I would love to hear what you think.
I went to the bank and said, give me some cash.
Did you? You didn't have a gun, right? You just went to the bank and asked them nicely with a suit and tie on and such.
Actually, flip-flops and shorts.
Yeah.
And said, can you lend me some cash? And so I leased it back when they first were doing this weird lease thing, which wasn't really a lease. It was called a bank loan, but they called it a lease. Now it looks like Tesla has real leases. We'll get into it in some detail. But I do find it interesting because I know a number of people on the interwebs who have said they're flipping their car because, like me, they didn't have the autonomous vehicle driving stuff. They didn't have all those extra sensors. And so I think this stuff is moving so fast that if you can afford to lease it, and leasing is usually more expensive, to flip it every few years because the technology is changing so quickly, just like your iPhone. And there is still a very big and growing and will be growing secondary market for those cars to get gobbled up by people like, I'm not spending $100,000, but like we talked about last week, I'll spend 50 and get a secondhand one.
50, 60, yeah.
Exactly. I'll do that.
And it sort of, there's an iPhone analogy.
Yes.
I, right now at my house, have the first iPhone ever made. Yes. It's a lovely paperweight.
Yes.
It's completely valueless. It has no real use.
1,000 years from now, it will be really...
No, it won't. Because they won't be any docks to charge a stupid thing because Apple have changed it 9 times since then. So there's that aspect of it. So it's, again, it's a car company, but it's a technology company. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why people say about the Signature Series, oh, they're in red. They're going to have a higher collectible value. They will, but they'll, again, it's weird because it's technology, it's electricity, its range, right? If in 20 years you have the first Model S and it has 200-mile range and it's for sale for $10,000, but you can buy one that has 900-mile range, like, it's just not going to have any value in it. That is the sad part about that. So again, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. They do have the million-mile battery thing, so it will get a million miles. That'll probably be with several owners, which is good. The early adopters will always want the newer, better, fancier ones. That's just the way you early adopter people sort of live your lives, which is great. And then as far as buying, again, like Consumer Reports, it broke the rating system for Consumer Reports. So it's a damn fine automobile. You won't be disappointed if you buy it. If it's going to fit your lifestyle for the next 10 or 15 years, buy the thing. If you can live without the, you know, the newest upgrades, you'll get some of them via software, but you won't get all of them. There's going to start to be a big aftermarket business and adding things to it that we already saw a little bit that at the TMC Connect thing. There are some companies doing things like that. So, you know, you can go either way. If you've leased cars traditionally in the past, lease the damn thing. If you've bought cars traditionally in the past, buy the damn thing. That's the way it is. That's my opinion on it.
If you're buying a car to save money, like if you want to spend the least amount of money on a car over time, you buy and hold and you just drive that thing until it
falls apart.
15 years old. Mm-hmm. That is the most cost-effective way to do it. But if you want the newest technology, then you have to flip it. And by flipping it, you can lease or you can buy and sell and see how you do. So there's a lot of variables in there. Hard to say right now, but a good question. And we'll get some other people to weigh on this. So Tom, I also wanted to do a quick update on the BMW i3. Let me take you back in time. You ready?
Love that.
You do. You do love that. BMW i3 is the car that I was seriously, seriously looking at before I got the Tesla. I thought, Tesla is too expensive for me. I'm going to get the $50,000, $55,000 BMW i3. It does about 80 miles on a charge. Then it has a little, you can buy it with a little gas backup generator.
It's ugly as sin, though.
I love it, though. See, some people hate it. They're like, this is the ugliest looking car in the world. Mm-hmm. I think it looks futuristic and spectacular.
It's tiny.
It is small, but it's gotten really good reviews from Edmunds and Consumer Reports. They really like this. They say it's a good car. They fixed a problem which was a really big deal in the first version, and they fixed it with software, which was you cruise along, you're passing a car, you're on electric, and you got all the power in the world. But then the gas thing kicks in because you're running out of electricity, you lose all the power and you're like, oh God, I'm going to crash now, I can't accelerate. So they fix that in software.
That sounds bad.
It's very bad. They fix that. The reason I didn't buy it in the end was because the back doors are not real doors. They're sort of half doors. They're called suicide doors.
They're made from bacon.
They're made from bacon. So that you can't, to get into the back seat, you have to actually open the front door and then you swing out this suicide door thing. So my wife saw that.
Oh, like the FJ Cruiser, same thing.
Is it? Yeah, mm-hmm. My wife goes, no, you're not getting that. I want real doors. I want to be able to get into the back or have grandma get in the back without having to open the front door. And thankfully, she said that because I'm like, well, there's only one possibility and that's a Tesla, for goodness sake. All right, I'll get a Tesla. And that's the story of how I got my Tesla.
That's the story of Mel and his Tesla.
But I see a lot of them in California, a lot of these BMW i3s. And I think they look great.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't. But that's fine. Wonderful. I mean, that's degree to disagree. Fun fact. Want to hear a fun fact?
Yeah, we haven't had a fun fact go.
So, I don't know. This one tickled me pink. So Jamie Lee Curtis was in picking up her Model S. I don't know if she was picking it up in Fremont or whatever, but she was picking up her Model S, and she was in the car with a delivery specialist where he carefully explained to her that the sound system goes to 11, just like in the movie This is Spinal Tap. What that delivery specialist didn't realize is that Jamie Lee Curtis is married to Christopher Guest, who was sitting right next to him in the car. Christopher Guest was in the movie This is Spinal Tap.
That is a fun fact. What did he say?
He said it goes to 11.
Oh, no. Of course it does.
That was awesome. That Mike had no idea. I also did not know that Jamie Lee Curtis was married to Christopher Guest, but there you go. That's your fun fact.
And now, Thomas, I've got something fun for you. Did you hear about the guy that drove his Model S 550 miles? That's right. Casey Spencer? Well, I got him on the phone. Is that really you, Casey?
Yep, I can confirm that. I did it in my Model S 85D.
Ladies and gentlemen, this wasn't just a quick whip down the street. This was a 26-hour extravaganza. Casey, why? Why did you do this?
Well, to be honest, I was bored. No, I'm kidding. I just always kind of wanted to go on a road trip in my car. I'd had it for about 6 months and I hadn't really done anything particularly interesting with it. And I did have a lot of free time and I thought, well, this could make a pretty interesting road trip and I'd like to see some of the country. I haven't really been out of California very far, very long before. So I thought it would be a good excuse to kind of see a little bit of the Midwest.
And a bit of the country he did see.
So I started in Colorado and ended up in Kansas. I started kind of early in the morning. I know a lot of people were saying it was because of the low wind and so I wouldn't have to use the AC. It was actually because the way I timed the route, when I got to certain parts of the route, I wanted the wind to be at my back. And so the timing was more so for the wind partway through the trip, as opposed to like not needing the AC or anything like that.
So Casey, was this all downhill or was it sort of down and flat and uphill again? What was the route?
The first 40 or so miles were mostly downhill. After that, it was mostly flat. People were saying, oh, you know, you can't really compare it to Bjorn's record because I went downhill and blah, blah, blah. And that's pretty much true. I didn't really want to go apples to apples for Bjorn's record. I just wanted to go as far as I possibly could under ideal conditions and just see how far I could go.
So the Bjorn he's talking about is a guy called Bjorn Nyland. Now, this guy drove his Model S in the deepest, darkest Norwegian winter, 233 miles, and then followed up with a 452-mile record before Casey's record. Now, he says he's not going head-to-head because Bjorn was more sort of doing it at a flat surface. Bjorn is also famous because he got all his buddies to buy their Model Xs through that little link that Tesla sent, and he got one for free.
Total time, 26 hours, no stops. Except for one time I got pulled over.
You got pulled over? Please explain. There's a story there.
I was going 22 miles an hour, 26 hours. I didn't go through any like major cities or I didn't use any major freeways or interstates. So it was mostly just rural freeways. So for the most part, if anyone came up behind me, they could just pass me. And about 12 or 15 hours in, someone came up behind me and they weren't passing me. And I just thought to myself, well, what's going on? Just pass me, guy, come on. But I noticed something on the plate that said police, and I thought to myself, please God, no. And then lights came on. So I pulled to the side. I was super nervous. I'd never been pulled over before in my life, so I was extremely nervous. He came up to the window, and I was expecting, you know, license, registration, what are you doing going this slow, blah, blah, blah. I thought that was going to be the end of it. But when I rolled down the window, he just looked at me and he said, hey, how you doing? And I was like, I'm all right. How are you? And he's like, good, good. What kind of car is this? He just wanted to know more about Tesla. He didn't even care that I was going that slow. Eventually, he did ask, like, if I needed a tow or something. I just said, oh, no, I'm just running some tests. It's all fine. And I had a sign in the back of the window that said test. I kind of took that page out of Bjorn's book. He said, oh, okay, that's fine. If somebody comes up behind you again, just maybe try and go out into the shoulder a little bit and have a nice day. So we just talked about Tesla for maybe 20 minutes and I continued.
So come on, Casey, let's talk about it. P's and poos. 26 hours, no P's and poos, really?
That's another question that I've been getting a lot. No. During the whole thing, I did drink about like 5 bottles of water, but I was just so focused that it was never really a problem. But when I stopped, and the second I took a step out of the car, I damn near pissed myself. But other than that, no, when I was sitting in the car, it was not a problem.
So when you got to the end, to the supercharger, did you have anything left?
When I got to the supercharger, I had 20 miles of energy left. So I did about another 40 miles worth of distance just circling the supercharger.
So you're going to do this again, Casey? You've done this 550 miles. Are you going to do it again? And when? We want to know.
When I have more free time, because things have kind of picked up, I will attempt to go for like an apples-to-apples attempt on Bjorn's record. I've already selected like the perfect road. It is literally completely flat for about 60 miles. Even Google can't calculate a elevation difference along the route. So I'll just go back and forth. That's near a supercharger as well. But I won't be able to do that for at least a few months. That's the first time I'll have more free time.
Well, Casey, thanks for talking to us on Talking Tesla. And thanks for pushing the limits. Not going to the moon pushing limits, but still pushing the limits.
All right, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's been good times. Can I encourage you to do something for us, though? We've been spending a lot of time with you. We've really got to know you well. Could you go onto iTunes and give us a little rating and, I don't know, make it good and give us a few comments? That'll help us out. You know, be honest. Tell them how good it is. Just be honest. If you could do that, we'll send Tom over and he'll give you a big hug and a kiss. How's that? He's very good.
We love you long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, his name is Tom Wolfson. My name's Mel Herbert. This is Talking Tesla, and our work here is done. But wait, stop. It's not done. It's not done because I just got the email invite to go to the September 29th event. So I'm going to go to that. I don't think Tom can make it. So this edition will be coming out probably the day after that event, and then I will give you a report. We'll do a little short. So very excited. I'm going to go up to the Tesla Model X event in Fremont and see what they have to say. I won't bring Tom because he can't go, but we'll bring producer and cousin Cece. It'll be good times. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thanks for listening. And if you want to hear a bizarre little conversation between me and Tom about a place in the Dominican Republic where little girls at puberty turn into little boys, listen after the end cap. And if you don't, then please do not. Why? Because we're talking Tesla. Speaking of testicles, not Teslas, Tom, a friend of ours, Josh, you know him, sound designer, sent me a story of this village in the Dominican Republic.
Village.
A village in the Haiti or the Dominican Republic.
Haiti.
Where little girls, because of a very extraordinarily rare genetic disorder, get born. And they're girls and they go to school and they're girls. And then when they hit puberty due to the surge in testosterone, which overcomes the enzyme deficiency that they have, they grow a penis and scrotum and their testicles descend. They go from little girls to wee boys.
Did they go from little girls to boys, or are they always boys that's just not noticeable? Did they have a uterus? Terrible story. You can't just drop that on a person.
It's an amazing story.
It's interesting, but what's going on in Haiti?
Yeah, it's an enzyme deficiency. You know, if when you're in utero, when you have the right, you don't have this genetic disorder, your testicles descend and they come down and then you grow the penis and the scrotum. And if you have XX, you're a girl, then that doesn't happen and you have your girl bits.
These guys
are just sort of delaying it. No, I'm not coming out all formed for you. I'm going to drop it on you when I'm, you know, reaching puberty.
But that's my question.
That's a great question. Do they have packages?
What's their bits? Are they hermaphroditic
in nature? Do they have both bits?
Right. What are their pre-hormonal bits consist of?
I like the medical term that you're using in the program here. What was it?
Pre-hormonal bits.
That's a term.
Right? Or post-enzymic? I don't know.
Post-enzymic bits?
Pre and post-enzymic bits.